That was very nice kirtan. Yes. If that happens in every home will be happy. So my lecture is over. This is the real formula for happiness in marriage. But still, you have all come expecting me to say something. So we'll say. But before that, a little more kirtan. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Jai Radha Madhava कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajaka Charya Shtotara Sata His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev Ki Jai Shri Shri Nitai Gaura Hari Ki Jai God Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, welcome to all of you. What a wonderful evening today, and the first meet, a neighbor stay. And we are the laborers in this world. And I would like to welcome His Holiness Bhakti Rasana Swami Maharaj. Wonderful occasion and a very nice topic, happiness in marriage and parenting, and introspection and discussion. So before Maharaj speaks, I just wanted to introduce, Maharaj comes from a very aristocratic Brahmin family, which is near to Mysore, and he comes from the area of Udupi and Mangalore, and he grew up in Ahmedabad. Studied there, completed his engineering, and then he did his MBA from University of Mumbai, and that was in 1980s. Then he got a job in a managerial post in Standard Chartered Bank. Then he was working for some time. After that, seeing the dire need of the Vedic wisdom in the hearts of youths and the families in India and abroad, he decided to dedicate his life, given the glories of Gita and the Vedic wisdom to the humanity. So from last 31-32 years, he has been dedicating himself, traveling throughout India, traveling abroad, giving the message of Gita. And he's been the principal guide and motivation factor for so many wonderful families. He actually based out of Belgaum, but he travels to Mumbai, Pune, Kolhapur, Maharashtra, Delhi, all over India. And under his guidance, thousands of families in Maharashtra have taken up the principle of having a very happy family life. And actually, from his youth, he revolutionized the implementation of the Vedic science for deriving happiness in the married life. Simple sutras through which so many wonderful families are following and becoming inspired from him. So it's a wonderful occasion we have in front of us, Maharaj guiding us, and I would like to thank him for coming here. And it's a wonderful topic, and it's actually very nicely connected to him, because he actually came up with the council systems for the families, youths who are getting married, and he has spoken about the importance of married life in youths and families, and he has given seminars many times, and I personally witnessed the seminar which he had recently in Australia, and he conducted in Sydney, and hundreds of families came from Perth, Darwin, Canberra, Adelaide, and assembled in Sydney to hear from him. And if that can happen in Australia, how about Mysore, India? So thank you so much for coming, and
It is very dangerous to hear introductions from Radha Krishna Chandra Prabhu. And by the way, this topic was chosen by him. I am simply trying to fulfill his request. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Ste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatu Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Now the topic that has been selected for today is a funny topic because many people see for them they are too happy to participate in such a topic. This is the time for happiness. When they get married, then they will realize. So marriage is a subject of much humor, isn't it? Because it is such a serious affair that you have to put some humor in it, otherwise it is not possible to sustain it. So therefore a lot of jokes, there are so many jokes and there is so much humor about marriage. I always quote this one example of one of our devotees whose brothers, whenever he meets anyone for the first time, you know, or often if not every time, he says, "So are you happy or are you married?" And another devotee jokes sometimes that when you say honest thief, it's a contradiction, isn't it? So like that, to say happy marriage, how is it possible? Can you have a marriage and have happiness? How is that possible? And somebody quipped one time that the secret of a happy marriage, well, that is a secret. It remains a secret. But actually, if we listen to the wisdom of our scriptures, then that secret can be revealed. And before we go on to the secret itself that is given in the Shastra, there is one very uncommon thing that is required for a happy marriage. It is very uncommonly found in the world today. What is that uncommon thing? It is called common sense. Yes? They say that common sense is very uncommon in this world. So this is the one very uncommon thing that is many times responsible for unhappiness, not just in marriage, but in all relationships and everywhere in life, and even for happiness in general. So common sense, we are aware to some extent what it means. But that apart, let us go into the deeper principles that are given in the Shastra, which are also actually quite common sense principles. It is not that there are some strange things that are so abstract and so difficult that it is like Greek and Latin to all of us. They're all principles, I'm sure, we can all identify with. We may or may not be able to practice it. We may find it easy and sometimes we may find them difficult. But these principles are something we can all relate to. The married state of life has been referred to as the Grihastha Ashram in our scriptures. Actually, there are four stages of life according to our Shastra. Brahmachari life, Grihastha life, Vanaprastha life and Sannyas life. So Brahmachari life is a life of studenthood when one is studying. And there are so many duties, responsibilities, etc. associated with this life. Of course, nowadays, hardly anybody follows any of these, the duties of these four stages of life. Each stage is associated with responsibilities, duties, and some things that you can expect. But mostly, the problem arises because we always emphasize on our rights and what we think we should be getting, what we think are our entitlements, and we give less emphasis towards our duties and responsibilities. That is the problem. We expect too much and we give too little. And this applies not just for happiness in married life, happiness in all relationships, happiness in life in general, happiness as citizens of a country or citizens of the world today, that we always expect too much and we are willing to give very little in return. So the first general principle for all ashrams, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, is please inscribe this in letters of gold in your heart like lines on stone. The principle of give and take should be as follows, that we always give more than we demand and expect from others. And this should be done, of course, with a spiritual background. And what does that mean? We'll come to it in a few moments. So the Brahmachari ashram also depends on the Grihastha ashram and all the other ashrams, because there the youth simply studies, practices service, practices celibacy, and so on. And then when the age comes, one enters into Grihastha life, one marries, sets up a family, and then one moves on to Vanaprastha life, which is going into the forest. Vanaprasthana. Van means forest, prasthan means to go into the forest. So of course these days who can go into the forest? There aren't any forests left also. And who can go and live there? It is very difficult. So essentially Vanaprastha ashram meant that one retired from the world. One retired from worldly activities and focused one's life exclusively on God. And similarly sannyas was for complete renunciation and detachment from this world. So in each of these ashrams, there are duties to perform, there are roles to play, and we must all, for success in life, participate in that properly. Now, Grihastha ashram. Griha means house, stha means to be situated, and ashram means that one has to take ashraya, one has to take shelter of God. This is a very important point. All four stages of life are called ashram. It's not that only a place of a hermit living in the forest or in the Himalayas is called an ashram, or a place where some spiritual activity is going on is called ashram. Actually, every home is supposed to be an ashram where spiritual activity is going on. So therefore, ashram means that one collectively works or serves God and performs spiritual activity. That is the original intention of the Grihastha ashram. But where the members of that household do not follow this principle, they are called Griha Medhi, whose medha or whose intelligence is focused only on the griha or on the samsara or on the world. How can I make more money? How can I enjoy myself more? So when one's consciousness or mind is absorbed always in just trying to better one's situation in the world, rather than trying to think of something beyond this world at the same time, one is called a griha medhi. One time, one of the devotees in our movement, he approached our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm just going to get married in a short time. Can you please give me some instructions on how I should lead my household life, my family life?" And he was expecting some very elaborate instruction. And what did Srila Prabhupada tell him? He only gave him a very brief answer, which may seem to us to be rather funny, but actually it is very deep. He said, "You go out, open your door before every meal, and loudly speak, 'Is there anyone hungry?' 3 times. And if someone responds to your request, you feed that person first, then you eat your food. That is the way that, that is how you should perform your duties." So this devotee was naturally very surprised. So what did Srila Prabhupada intend to say? Now, is it really practically possible for everyone? Our shastras very much say that. Exactly these words, that every householder should go out, open the door, step out in the street and say, "Is anyone hungry? Is anyone hungry? Is anyone hungry?" Feed them and then feed the family afterwards. Now, of course, in the modern day life, where there are multi-storied buildings and everything, it is hardly possible to follow this. If someone is living on the 19th floor, how is he going to call out to anybody, "Is anyone hungry?" And you should not try to cheat, but just saying it very softly so no one hears. And then quickly run back inside before anybody has the time to respond. And then eat up all the meals. And if someone comes, say, "Sorry, you came late." So what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say is the spirit of household life, it is a spirit of sacrifice. I think all of you can move ahead a little bit here so that those who come late can have place to sit. And once you're in, then no movement after that because it distracts. Yes. Yes, so that when latecomers come, it will be minimal distraction. And I think children are hopefully on the other side. Yes, that's also part of parenting. We'll come to that. So the idea is that there should be a spirit of sacrifice, a spirit of wanting to share with others. If we are going to become very self-centered and just be conscious of me and my family and neglect others, then you actually cannot have happiness. You cannot have happiness within the family if you do not try to share, if you're not in this mood of sharing with others. Because then, gradually over a period of time, you will develop a very selfish consciousness. "I want," and you'll try to grab. And these things will eventually spill over into the relationships in the family. And then it's not just selfishness for the family, but then every member in the family will try to be more selfish. "It's about me, me." Then the brothers and sisters will quarrel. Then the husband and wife will quarrel. Then there'll be in-laws and outlaws. You see, all the problems will start happening in the family. So, in family life, one has to be a little big-hearted. One has to be a little broad-minded. One has to accommodate others. One has to begin by accommodating not just the family members, but also the people outside. That is a spirit in which Atithi Seva is recommended. Service of guests in the house, especially those who are spiritually minded. That is very important. And a guest is not simply one who tells you, I am coming on such and such date, and you expect the person. A guest is one who comes unannounced also. Atithi, that is the meaning of the word Atithi. One who comes without telling you when he's coming, he suddenly lands up at your doorstep. And then you should not get frustrated, oh, my favorite TV program has come land just at that time. No, you have to welcome the person with sweet words, feed that person something, give a nice place to sit. All these things are mentioned so that we may not remain small-hearted. We may not become cripple-minded. We have to learn to share. That sharing mentality is very important for our individual peace, for peace in the family and peace in the society outside. So we learn to give, we learn to share. This is the spirit of household life, and that is possible when you actually keep God in the center. I often speak this. I had heard one sannyasi saying this earlier. He said that in Sanskrit the word for house is bhavan. Bhavan, you have heard this phrase. And bhavan, you can split it up into two parts, bha and vana. Bha stands for Bhagavan. You take away bha from the house, you take away Bhagavan from the house, what remains? Vana. Vana is a forest. Who lives in the forest? Animals live in the forest. So you take God out of the picture, then everybody's animals fighting, mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, not yours, not yours. And you quarrel and quarrel very bitterly in the house. So you take away God from our life, individually, domestically, socially, then what happens? There is quarrel, unnecessary and bitter quarrel. So the most important way to have happiness in the house is to keep God in the center. That is how we will realize that we should not be selfish. You see, in the modern life, even in India now, what is happening? We are becoming more and more so-called modern. So in this so-called modernity, we think it is quite fashionable, it is quite right, it is quite progressive to give up our traditional concepts and ideas and ways of living. So therefore, we are keeping God out of the picture. The more that we keep God out of the picture, what is happening? People are becoming more and more selfish, more and more self-centered, more and more egoistic, more and more preoccupied with themselves individually. So it is all about I and me, rather than about us. Yes? So when people become more and more selfish like this, then what happens? Quarrels, they start at the drop of a hat. At the smallest things, there are quarrels. People lose the qualities of kindness, of compassion, of forgiveness, of tolerance, of mutual understanding, all of which are very happy in any relationship, especially in a marriage. And because we keep God out of the picture, we don't as a family focus our mind on God, we don't come together to glorify God, then we become to that extent centered on ourselves. And all these fine human qualities that I just mentioned, we tend to lose them. Because it's about me now, it's what I want. And my pleasure, my happiness that is more important. So that spirit of sacrifice is lost. No relationship can function without sacrifice. If I only want my way, if my principle in life is going to be that, then how can there be any happiness? So this is a very, very important point for all of us to consider. And because relationships mean sacrifice, and people don't want to sacrifice, they only want for themselves, they're very self-centered, so marriages break up very fast nowadays. Of course, there are also other reasons for breakups of marriage, but generally the most important underlying principle is this, that I want myself. And if my personal happiness and pleasure is being interfered with, then I give up. In the Western world, it is very common and it is catching up very fast in India. At the smallest thing, there is divorce. To the extent that now people are even rejecting the institution of marriage. They say, what is the point in getting married? There's no point. Because anyway, we are going to divorce after some time. And then when you divorce, then so many legal problems, so much trauma of going through the whole partition and then maintenance and alimony and this and that, the children sharing, so much problem. So better to just not get married. We will simply live together. And that is happening in India also. In all the big cities it is happening. Smaller cities also happening. Live together without marriage. And then see how it goes for a few years. If you're okay, then okay, we'll get married. If you're not okay, then anyway, no harm done. No legal problems involved, no property disputes and money disputes and maintenance and all that. So we will just go apart. When I was in Australia, since Radha Krishna Chandra Prabhu mentioned Australia, we were going to one program and the devotee who was driving me, he pointed to a big advertisement, big billboard, on which there was some famous model. Of course, I didn't recognize the model. He said, this lady is a very famous model and she recently threw a very big party. I said, why? He said, because she got divorced. So I thought, generally parties and celebrations happen when you get married, no? So now the celebration is when you get divorced. She called all her friends and they had some celebration. So this is the culture of what happens when you become more and more individualistic, centered on yourself, me, me, me. And you forget that I have to sacrifice. God is out and therefore all good qualities go out. Therefore the saying, a family that prays together stays together. But if you don't pray together, you don't chant the names of God together, you don't serve God together, then very hard to stay together peacefully and happily. So this spirit of keeping God in the center, Lord Krishna, is here in this house. You can see such a sublime atmosphere here. We are all coming here together to hear and chant about him, doing his kirtan. It creates such a nice atmosphere where people can live together, all serve Lord Krishna together. This is a happy family life. Another thing that in family life is essential is, that is related to the principle of learning to sacrifice, is that you have to partake of your, you have to share your wealth with others, especially in Lord Krishna's service. Because it is the nature of grihastha life to be, to accumulate things. And greed comes, that selfishness comes of its own accord by the nature of that ashram. The nature of that situation in life is that you accumulate money, you want more and more for yourself. And therefore the principle of charity has been recommended. So you share your things, and in that you will find happiness. The more you tend to accumulate, that selfish mentality grows. And then the quarrels within the family grow. And in the next generation, then there will be quarrels, my share, your share. Because they have not learned to share with others, so they want to grab more than is their share. How many families do we see this kind of dispute going on? Yes? Why? Because they have not learned this mentality of sharing with others. Actually, the topic is a very big one. And today I will just share a few important points because we also have to talk about parenting. In married life, then there is tapa, there is dana, and there is yajna. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that these three principles, austerity, that is tapa, dana, that is charity, yajna, that is sacrifice, are necessary for all four ashrams. And sometimes the nature of the dana, tapa, yajna that is required in each ashram may slightly change. So, yes, we talked about dana. We talked about yajna, that is some kind of sacrifice. And the highest yajna is to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna together. So when all the members of the family come together to chant the holy names of Krishna together, immediately it creates a lot of happiness. So every family, for if you want a happy family, all the members of the family must come together, hear and chant about Lord Krishna every single day. Unless you're coming to a program like this, where you cannot do it in the house, then you do it in a gathering of devotees. So that is yajna. That is also another meaning of the word sacrifice. And tapa or austerity means that the household life is not simply meant for enjoying. It is not a blank check. Enjoy in any way you like. No, there is also austerity required in family life. There must be rules and regulations of the scriptures that are followed for any civilized human life. Whimsical living where a person thinks, I can enjoy in any way I like and nobody should restrict my freedom to enjoy. That is the recipe for so many problems in the household life, in marriage, in relationships. Unrestricted enjoyment. We want no curbs on our freedom. So this whole mentality of the modern time, this modern era, where we want total individual freedom, is something that is causing a disaster in our social fabric. We don't want to accept controls and regulations on ourselves, especially when those regulations come from scripture. We have some kind of allergy to all of that. But it is very important. Phalena parichiyate, by results we can see what is happening in the world. When you focus too much on the individual and you don't worry about the family, about the community, then this is what happens. And on the other hand, it is not that we should be so much on the other extreme that we deny an individual his or her dignity or his or her freedom of expression, of life, of respect. That is also essential. So a healthy balance must be struck between these two. And that wisdom comes from a devoted mind, from a mind that is aware of spiritual principles, of the injunctions of our scriptures, a mind that is full of devotion for God. Where there is devotion in the heart for Lord Krishna, automatically all these qualities will come and happiness will come as a natural result. But you take away God from the picture, then it becomes very artificial, very difficult to do things. So this is the most important principle I want to talk about today. Keep Lord Krishna in the center of your life. Let your life be focused on Him. Automatically your family problems, your relationship problems, your marriage problems will get solved. Don't live only for yourself. If you live for yourself alone, you will never be happy. So live. Nowadays people don't want children also. Now we come to the question of parenting. Why? Because children, looking after children is such a botheration, quote unquote. It is such a struggle. It requires so much of austerity, so much of struggle. And it is very problematic. So therefore, people don't want children because they think that it is going to be an interference in their life. People want unrestricted enjoyment. And children are an interference in that freedom. Because now I have to wake up in the night. to look after the child. I have to take the child to school. I want to do something. Now because the children are there, I can't do. So in the Western world, it is there for children. They don't want children. They don't want marriage, first of all. And even if they're married, they hardly want children, very few. So there's hardly any families left now. Because they become so selfish, they can't make that sacrifice for their children. They're not in that mental state. In India also it is happening now. Because both want to pursue their own lives, the husband and the wife. So where is the time and the energy left for looking after the children? So because that spirit of sacrifice is not there, what happens? We are living in the outsourcing era. Yes? What is outsourcing? You all, so many of you are in the software field. Outsourcing, what does it mean? Source it from outside means what? That something that you should be doing inside, you give it to somebody else outside to do it. Right? So this is the outsourcing generation, not just for software, but even for family life. You outsource everything. Outsource the education of your children. Outsource their upbringing itself. Because you are too busy to look after them. You outsource the cooking, the food. Go to hotels, go to restaurants. So that touches, that homely touch of the food is not there. So we want to, whatever is done, outsource the care of your elderly people in the house, put them in old age home, or go put them somewhere else. So like this, we want to outsource our responsibility because I don't want any headaches. I want a peaceful life where I have freedom to do what I want. And having elderly people, having children, having responsibilities, it is too much for me. Is this happening or not? The bitter truth of today or not? Yes, it is happening. So therefore the birth rates in most of the Western countries are coming down. In Japan, one of the biggest concerns is the increasing elderly population. And the youth don't want to get married. And even when the youth are there, they're so busy working morning to night in their careers, in their jobs, they don't have time. So Japan is the country with the maximum suicide rates, breakdown of family, no care of the elderly, hardly. And as I was saying in one earlier lecture elsewhere, that Japan is on the forefront of artificial intelligence, robotics, making robots, machines. And one of the main reasons they want to employ robots is because they want to take care of the elderly through the robots, because the children are not there to take care of them. Children are too busy elsewhere. So who will look after them? So the elderly need care, and there is more and more and more elderly people coming, so even the state cannot look after them. So they are hoping to have robots. So the robots will then give them medicine, the doctor will give. At certain hours, the robot will prepare the medicine, give to that person, cook the food, give to that person, wash the clothes, maybe make the bed, clean the house, maybe sit and talk to the old person. At least you have somebody to talk to. So therefore in the Western world today, and happening again more in India, have lots of pets in the house. Cats, dogs. Because you don't have relationships with people. So you must have with cats and dogs. This is a sad situation of our life. So how can we have a happy married life? How can there be happy children? Because we don't want to sacrifice for our children. If our parents did not sacrifice for us, would we be here today? So today we don't want to sacrifice for our children, so who will look after them? So they will be emotionally malnourished. They will be psychologically disturbed. So we are bringing up generations of children who are psychologically disturbed because of emotional disturbances in the family, because of broken homes. So many problems come. Because this whole mentality, me, I am the most important person. for me, that selfishness. But parenting requires sacrifices. Actually, one of the sacred duties of the Grihastha Ashram is to generate children, to bring forth children into this world who will be noble citizens, spiritually minded, and who will serve God and the society. But out of selfishness, when people don't want to have children because it is an interference, then that is the problem. Where children are not possible for biological reasons or for some arrangement by some arrangement of nature, that is a different matter. But out of choice, people nowadays don't want. And they want to marry late, 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 late. Everybody wants to marry late now. That boundary is going from early 20s, it used to be late teenage earlier, then early 20s, mid 20s, late 20s, now 30s. Girls, boys, both wait because they are too busy. They want to settle down. They want to settle down in their career. Then they will start thinking of marriage. What happens? Everybody, you see, when you are younger, you are more flexible. The older you get, the more rigid you are in your views. You can't adjust with another person. You have your own ego by that time. You have your own views. And therefore, harder to adjust with another person in marriage. So therefore, the later you marry also, the chances are the more you divorce. Early marriage, you get to know each other. You fight for first few years and realize that no choice, come, we have to do it. And you continue. First 1 or 2 years, always turbulent, isn't it? Because you're getting to know each other. But nowadays there are easy options. It's not that in the olden days couples didn't have problems, but they didn't have a choice. Today divorce is easy choice. Work out. So these are things to consider. Having a child is a sacred duty in the Grihastha Ashram. And to raise that child or those children in a noble way, to make that person a noble person, to make that person a devotee of Lord Krishna or God, whatever be the religion they are following, that's another matter. But make that child devoted child. Give some good samskars, good upbringing. Nowadays we find even that upbringing is missing. They're expecting the school to do everything. They're expecting, you know, other people to do everything. Where is the time the family has now to do all of this? Where is the time to cook? Where is the time to feed the child your own cooked food? Everybody is busy. So parenting is very important. When we have that spirit, the most important responsibility of the parents is to make sure that they give the right upbringing emotionally, physically, intellectually, and above all spiritually, that the child gets that input, that nourishment, that training, that upbringing. That is the most important thing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse by the great king Rishabhdev. He instructs his sons, Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, na janani na sasyat, daivam na tatsyan, na pita pati na sasyan. Na mochayet samupet mrityum. He says one should not become a guru, one should not become a relative, one should not become a father or a mother, one should not become a demigod or a husband, unless one has the capacity to deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So the primary responsibility in life is to help those who are dependent on us become spiritually perfect. But this vision is completely unknown to the people of the modern day world. They have no idea that such is the responsibility of becoming a husband or a wife or a father or a mother. They are completely clueless about this. They only think married life means I just have my own world, I live in that, enjoy as much as I can. At the most, do as much as I can, send my child to America. Educate the child, send child to America, a child has a lot of money. Parents today are worried only about the materialistic growth of the child. Hardly anybody is worried about the spiritual growth of the child. And even if there is some spirituality, just a little bit, in so much that the materialistic drive and ambition of the child will not be curbed. So when our devotees go out to schools or talk to parents of children, the children are very eager to hear about Bhagavad Gita. The parents are the ones who are always very nervous about it. Oh, why are you giving so much importance to Bhagavad Gita? Because they feel it will be an impediment in the materialistic progress of their children. So when the parents, because they haven't received that upbringing, so they are now foisting their lack of spiritual understanding on their children. They are protesting their children becoming spiritually minded. And this is happening in India very much. In fact, in Western audiences, they are more open than in India. Especially in the Hindu community. Hindu parents nowadays are the most strongly opposed to spiritual culture being given in a serious way to their children. So how can you have happy children? What kind of culture can you have? So these values, the more you want to be money-minded, the more you become materialistic in life, neither your married life will be good, neither your children will be able to be noble citizens ahead in life. And all these new modern philosophies will come up. Also, another thing that we have to remember, which in India is a major problem and also in other countries, is that a relationship rests on mutual respect and dignity. In India, we have seen a history of mistreatment of women in the home. And this is very much against our shastras. For example, Bhishma in the Mahabharata, he speaks that any home in which the woman is mistreated will perish. Several generations of that family will perish. There are similar quotes in different other scriptures. So the woman in the house must be treated with utmost dignity and respect. But today, and also there is a history to this, yes, there is so much mistreatment going on. And many times the mistreatment happens by the women to the women. This also happens. And that doesn't mean that the men should be mistreated. They also should be treated with dignity and respect. Everybody should be treated. But especially women, because this is a problem. Especially we come across so many cases of cruelty, of domestic violence, these things happening. Because people have lost track of these principles. So the husband's duty or the father's duty is very important also. We'll come to the duties of the others also. It is the duty of the husband to see that the wife is protected in all respects. Not just physically, but also emotionally, and very important, spiritually. That is the function of the husband. That is the meaning of the word pati. If the husband is expecting the wife to perform certain roles, he must also remember that he has roles to perform, he has duties. It cannot be a one-way thing. Similarly, the wife also has duties and responsibilities. She also has to fulfill her role of assisting the husband nicely in the spiritual activities in the first place, and then also in making the home a home. You see, unless the lady in the house is ideal, there can be no home. And that is all the more reason why the men must treat the women with dignity in the house. Offer them all respect and look after them with all affection and fulfill their needs, reasonable needs of course. Now if one's Mercedes and all that, it's a different matter, but reasonable needs. And on the wife's part or the mother's part, she has the most important role to play. Because she will create those samskars in the house. she will create the devotional ambience in the house. And she is the one who will create the future consciousness of the child. The upbringing of the child rests very largely upon the mother, although the father also has a very, very important role to play. We learnt in history of how Shivaji's character was molded by his mother. Because the mother is there giving those good samskaras, giving those that upbringing to the children, to make them noble citizens. But for that purpose, the mother has to spend time with the child. She has to be available in the house to make that atmosphere there. So the children, from a young age, they have to be given this sanskar. Even from the time they are in the womb, this has to start. This is a very important point. If you want good children, good progeny, begin early. Begin even before conception of the child. And this is a topic I have been speaking of quite frequently in the last few years. People are completely unaware of how you can get good children. Which grihastha does not want good children? Want children, but who doesn't want a good child who is qualified in all respects? Everyone who has children would like their children to be exemplary. So there is something called the Garbhadhana Samskar which is supposed to be done to get a good child. Then once the lady becomes pregnant and is expecting a child, for 9 months there has to be so much of nice samskars given to the child, a devotional ambience in the house, lots of prayers, chanting, etc. going on, study of the scripture. And it is a duty of the other family members to see that the expecting mother is very happy and kept in a cheerful mood, even if she makes mistakes, so that she will not be disturbed, so that the child's consciousness will not be disturbed. And in that devotional ambience where there is a lot of love, a lot of pleasant atmosphere in the house, there's devotion to God, in that atmosphere the child in the womb will flourish. And when the child is born, then comes out with that character. Then the first 5 years, very important. After that, to give these sanskaras. With lot of affection has to be given. And one thing I have found very often, because when the children are very young, the parents are also young. And that much maturity has not come in the parents yet. So they quarrel often. And they often quarrel in front of the children. So the one golden rule, that is, if you have to fight, you fight, but fight outside. Outside meaning not on the street, but not in front of your children at least. At least this one rule everybody must remember. Because that is very bad for the children. Now this, as I said, is common sense, isn't it? That's why in the very beginning of the talk I said, the most important thing is common sense. But common sense is very uncommon in the world. One doesn't have to be a genius to know that if the mother and father fight in front of the child will be affected badly by it. But it is so common, so common. They argue, they fight, they don't deal with respect with each other in front of the child. Or they will tell the child, the one mother will tell badly about the father will tell badly about the mother to the child. All this kind of thing goes on. So how will the child also learn to respect? What example are the parents giving for the child? If the parents don't set the proper example in the house and outside, then the child will also not be a good example. So setting the example for the child is very important. The parents have to make that sacrifice. The parents have to learn what is good and what is not good. And yes, you also have to be strict with the child. You have to give a lot of affection, but you also have to be strict at a younger age especially. That is called discipline. If you just let your child have everything that he or she wants, especially when the child is very young, then you are actually spoiling the child. But nowadays, it has become such a difficult thing Because authority, the more and more people go away from God, when they assume positions of authority, they abuse that position of authority. And as a result, those who are victims of that abuse, then they react, and the society at large has to protect those victims, and therefore they bring in very strict rules and regulations about how the authorities in life can function, whether it's the parents, whether it's teachers, etc. So to the extent now that to scold a child in school, also the teachers are feeling very afraid. Because immediately the child complains to the parents complain to the principal, and the hue and cry is raised, how dare they scold my child. But when we were children, we got quite a few spanks. Nowadays to do that, it is very risky. Of course, nowadays, and also otherwise, it is not a good principle to beat the child. We must always try by affection and by good instruction, at the most by some verbal, you know, scolding, but not by physical means. Sometimes people lose their control and they severely beat the children. So this kind of an atmosphere is there. But when you actually develop spiritual knowledge, come to such things, the consciousness of everybody in the family rises, becomes spiritual. And then what happens? There is peace and harmony. Everybody understands what is to be done. What is the proper behavior? You see, this is not something that we need to learn coming to a spiritual program. This is something that should be learned in the house. Again, outsourcing. And therefore, sannyasis have to speak about family life. How you should be happy between husband and wife. The children has to be taken. So again, outsourcing is going on. Because parents are not teaching this to their children. They are too busy watching television or too busy enjoying life, going here, going there, doing many other activities. So these things must be ingrained from childhood, so that when those individuals become grown up and become parents, husband or wife, then they will learn their proper duties and roles. And the children also must obey their parents. I quote this many times. One time I went to somebody's home because he had trouble with his teenage son. It's very common, no? When the children start growing up, they have strong opinions and they rebel against the authority of the parents. It's quite common. So he wanted my help in resolving the problem between him and his teenage son. So now when I went to the house, actually, he didn't tell me that. He just told me, there's something, I want your help, can you please come? And when I went to the house, in the hall, in the living room, there was a big poster. He had bought it from outside. It was a printed poster commercially available. And the poster had a very witty slogan. It said, by the time you realize that your parents were right, you have children who think you are wrong. Yes, you got this point? By the time you realize your parents were right, you have children who think you are wrong. And the cycle goes on. Yes. So children also today must become obedient. We must train them in our schools, in our homes, to be obedient to elders, respectful to elders. The elders must act as elders. Elders should not act like children. You see, these things are also there. If elders are going to fight and squabble like children fight and squabble, children will also do that. Elders must know how to behave with dignity, with respect to each other. There are so many things that are involved. It's a question of a whole culture that we have lost. And therefore, in this day and age, we are expecting a sannyasi to talk on happy family life and happy parenting. I think I'll stop here because we'll leave some time for questions, I'm sure. There'll be so much discussion. One can go on and on and on about these things. Today I have only shared a few thoughts. There's much more that is there in our shastras on these things. But if any of you have any questions to ask, please feel free to ask now. Yes, at the back there is.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your insights. Could you touch briefly on the impact of schools that the kids have, even if we have a devotional atmosphere at home? Schools are nowadays actually anything but devotional in the name of science or whatever, or achieving a big thing. There is so much pressure in the schools, there is so-called scientific temple. They associate with so many people from all backgrounds. So how to counteract that? I know homeschooling is one big topic, but if I'm not bold enough to do homeschooling, what is the next best thing I can do?
Well, you have hit on the nail on the head. It's a very important topic. The whole educational system today in the modern world is flawed because it doesn't give any importance to spiritual education. And in India especially, we see that the modern educational system, Srila Prabhupada called it a spiritual slaughterhouse, where the spiritual devotional instincts of the children are completely destroyed because of the kind of atmosphere that is created, the kind of things that they are taught. They are the so-called, as you said, the so-called scientific temper and the materialistic values that are ingrained into them. The children grow up to be doubtful, faithless in their own traditions, in God, and they think that these are backward things. And they think it is, especially in India, they think it is very fashionable to be ignorant of your own spiritual traditions. So this is the kind of problem that we are facing today in the educational system. And I hear from parents and teachers themselves and the children also over the years, and today also this morning I was discussing with devotees, that actually the teachers themselves, many of them, they don't have faith. When I was a child, I remember, we had many things in our textbooks that contained stories from the Ramayana or the Mahabharata. Today there's hardly anything. And even when there is something like that, the teachers ridicule it. And these are all Hindus, it's not just people from other religions that are doing it. They ridicule it. They make fun of it. So what impression do you get the child to have? What do you expect the child to have? He or she will also develop that kind of mentality. So therefore, why are those teachers like that? Because they didn't get that samskara, that upbringing in their childhood. Their parents have failed. Why have their parents failed? Because their parents failed. So we have to begin the transformation of the educational system at home. We have to give such strong spiritual and cultural upbringing to the children in the home, which is the first educational place of the child, that even if there is negative influence from the educational system outside, the children will still be protected from that negativity and that bad influence. So the strong spiritual and cultural upbringing at home and the emotional nourishment from home will protect them, will be like a kavach, a shield to protect them from this lack of culture, the lack of spiritual culture outside. And as far as an alternative educational system, yes, so many people are concerned about this and are trying to do whatever they can in their own way to do it. Some people do homeschooling, some people start their own schools, some people are trying to go to schools to give lectures to the children. So many people are concerned. And I think as devotees of Lord Krishna, we should also be very concerned and we should come forward, and especially all the grihasthas who have children or who in future will have children should come forward and cooperate, put their heads together and come up with different ways and means where we can give very good quality, real education to the children, spiritual as well as material combined. Right? Very important topic that you have raised. About?
About one lady who actually asked one question. She couldn't able to attend.
Okay.
I think you covered most this is about the domestic quarrels, which is taking place.
Domestic quarrels.
Yeah. Actually, she wrote a message to me saying that her husband physically beat her every day, and she's going through a very, very challenging situation. And she couldn't able to attend the program today. She just asked, is there any way and guide her how to come out of this?
Okay, since it's being recorded, for the benefit of those who are not present today, your question is that you have got an SMS from a lady who was not able to attend the program today, and she says that she is a victim of almost daily physical abuse from her husband, and what is the solution? Well, obviously what is happening is not at all nice, it is terrible. As I mentioned earlier, that all should be treated with dignity and respect, and especially the ladies in the house. And domestic physical abuse of this sort is a very horrible thing to happen. It should not happen. Again, obviously her husband has not been trained properly, or maybe the sanskars have not been given to him, or there is a mental problem with him, some psychological problem. Some such issue has to be dealt with by the proper authorities concerned. If it is happening on a regular basis, there is obviously some need for some third-party intervention. If that is not happening, it could begin with marriage counselors, it could begin with professional psychologists, and if necessary, it can also be with the police and the justice system, depending on how severe the system is, how severe the problem is. So it is very hard to give a very general reply to it, but obviously there is attention needed, and this kind of situation is happening many times. It's a very common story everywhere, because people are not aware of these things, of the spiritual principles. The husband doesn't know his role, and as I mentioned earlier, it is not always that only men are responsible for abuse to women. Even women, I know of so many instances where the women are responsible for abuse to other women in the house. That also happens. And there are instances when men are the receiving end from women. It also happens. There are instances where women beat up the men. I know of such cases also. Yes, it happens. And nowadays, there are the laws that are, because of all the abuse, domestic abuse that women have received over the years, the laws have been made to protect the women from such abuse. Very strict laws, so that the woman can go and complain at the police station and the husband will have to go to jail. They have no option. I'm not a lawyer, but there are such, I have heard that there are such very strict laws. So that is there. The society recognizes that this abuse happens, and the society is trying to protect the interests of the woman in the house against such forms of abuse. So the law is trying to offer a protection also. But you see, how much can the law do? The law cannot regulate every little part of your day-to-day life. Ultimately, again, we are outsourcing, because we are not able to do it in the house. We are not creating that spiritual sanskar in the house. Where there is such spiritual atmosphere, such things will generally not happen. I also want to mention that when these laws are coming up, the laws are also abused by the women. That also happens. And I know of such cases where a poor devotee boy, a very nice boy, married some girl, and because she was very qualified, Sanskrit and everything like that. He was a devotee of Krishna. He thought, oh, if he's Sanskrit. And she ended up filing. She was so demanding, materialistic. And she filed so many false cases. And that he went to her town to sort out the matter. They put him in jail. He was in jail for some time. There is no recourse because that's the law. If she files a complaint, then the husband has no choice in the matter. So it goes both ways. Nowadays, especially, people are recognizing how these laws that are made for the protection of women are being misused by women. It's also a major issue now. But the root cause is here. If everybody understands the spiritual sacredness of marriage, if they understand that marriage is a very sacred thing, you get married in front of God, in front of the sacred fire, mantras are chanted, in which it is said that we will serve God together. It's a partnership in seva to God and to the world. It is a partnership of sacrifice and caring for each other and for the world. And when we forget that principle and become too self-centered, and if somebody already has some psychological problem, then he goes beyond the limits and starts beating his wife or something of that sort. So this is a big social problem. And here we are giving the fundamental solutions to it. Not that there should be no legal protection or no other legal systems and other secular systems that should be in place, but ultimately happiness cannot be ensured by law. Whatever you may have in terms of marriage counselors, good court systems, you may have police and you may have everybody, but happiness can come only when the individual is at peace and happy, and when proper values are taught to the children from childhood, it is taught. Then that family sanskar will come. And many times violence happens because the children have been seeing violence from their childhood. It happens like that sometimes. Maybe not all the time, but often. So there are various things. So with this lady who has asked the question, we offer her all our shall we say support, moral support, and obviously some personal intervention is required from some third party depending on the details of the case. Any other questions? Yes, some mic here please.
Hare Krishna. My question is that today in this world there is so much of distraction and there is so much of attraction that the children are also exposed to. How we can give spirituality if the family is not being giving to the child from a very young age? How as we as individuals can bring the child, because somewhere the reinforcement at home doesn't happen. Because in schools also, when we talk about moral values, when we talk about culture and tradition, they are not able to connect to their respective homes. There is a disconnect in what we give, and as in the school, if the school is culturally rich, and what happens in their home. So how do we solve such kind of things? Because there's a lot of attraction and distraction. So spirituality goes towards the end of such kind of, it doesn't have much importance in their home.
Yes. By the way, can we open the doors and windows? I think it's getting very stuffy for everybody. I can see everybody is getting a little, feeling a little hot. The windows especially. Windows behind also, outside there. Those. Yes, your question was that if a child has not been receiving these spiritual samskars from childhood, how to do that when the child becomes much older, and especially in an atmosphere where there are so many distractions outside? Well, better late than never. At least something is better than nothing. But then we have to make up for lost time. Then we have to do it more sincerely, more carefully, more intensely, to make up for all that has not been done in the past. And to take to this process of spiritual, of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Then a lot of lost ground can be covered. But fundamentally, we have to change society by bringing knowledge into the hearts of people and going back to the root. Start from the point of conception. Start when the child is in the womb. Start when the child is newly born. Start when the child is very young. As Prahlad says, Kaumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha. We should start spiritual upbringing when in childhood itself, not wait when the child grows up. And in India, one of the biggest problems is when people say, this is not the age for spirituality. That is meant for old age. When we become very old, we will do that. Very common. You must have all heard this. So we are paying the price for that. And it's not that automatically, when without receiving sanskars in childhood and youth, you can automatically become spiritual when you grow old. No. Then your old age, you will spend only in front of the television watching cinema and other things and watching all the politics. You will not be interested in spiritual things. If you have not been trained for it from childhood, you will not have interest in that. So therefore, we have to now work to help others get that. We have to share this with others. Any other, someone had raised a hand here at the back? Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, sir. My question is regarding how the world is becoming self-centric. You mentioned like people are becoming more selfish and they are concentrating on eyes, myself, concentrating more material things. So I want to ask you that how we can develop ourselves so that our activities can be more related to sacrifice or related to others. How we can develop that habit in ourselves?
By coming to the association of devotees, to gatherings of devotees like this, learning about what our scriptures say, learning our ancient wisdom, applying it in our life, keeping Lord Krishna at the center of our life. When we learn all this knowledge and apply it, then automatically everything will come. Very simple, but so difficult. Yes.
One devotee has asked, like, can you explain the difference between penance, austerity, and sacrifice?
What is the difference between penance, austerity, and sacrifice? Sacrifice or yajna means to perform activities that please Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. That is yajna. Yajna vai Vishnu. And the main yajna for this age is to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. There are all other activities meant to please Lord Krishna are also considered as yajna. Penance or austerity, more or less the same thing. That is tapa. Austerity means to voluntarily accept some inconvenience in life for the sake of achieving a higher spiritual goal or for a higher purpose. That is called austerity. So as I said, bringing up a child is an austerity, but you're doing for a higher purpose. So even when husband and wife quarrel, they should know it's not just about us. Now there are children involved. So we better make up, we better get everything all right, because now the children are at stake also. So at least for their sake, we should do. Take on some inconvenience, even if there is some difference of opinion between two of us, but we have to, for the sake of the children, we have to do this. So that spirit of taking on some inconvenience, sacrificing something for a higher goal, that is austerity. Any other questions? Yes.
Are going
say that you are in a wrong way, they don't listen to their parents, they don't listen to teachers or the lecturers. And teachers and lecturers are in the situation that where they are facing a problem that even staring at a student is an offense. So they can be legally sued. So we can't say that teachers are not performing their roles, as the law is also there. So we have to respect both. So how to make that teenagers to realize that they are in the wrong way in most effective manner? When they are not ready to listen to their parents, neither the teachers nor the parents.
You are asking, how can we bring the moon to Mysore? Valid question.
Is happening?
Everywhere. My concern is not so much, it is of course with the teenagers. My concern is with the grown-ups. When they are not in working order, how can you expect teenagers to be proper? What were the grown-ups doing? Why the teenagers have become like this? Of course, teenage is an age of turbulence. So whatever may happen, that age is one which will give trouble. Biologically also it is like that. The hormones start acting and then the child discovers new aspects of looking at life, becomes rebellious by nature. This happens in the teenage. It is natural. It is just the way the mind and body of the individual grows. It's part of life. But at the same time, what makes it worse is when that upbringing has not been good, the sanskars have not been good, the examples that the child has seen have not been good, and also as the child has been growing, the atmosphere around in the society has become exceedingly materialistic and bad. The temptations, the distractions, etc. are so strong, the company around them is so bad that they get, you know, deviated like this and they become like that. So it is a very difficult question. There's no simple answer to it, simple in terms of doing it, but in principle the answer is yes here. Give a spiritual atmosphere to them. If you look at our Hare Krishna temples, ISKCON temple, many of them, most of them are full of young people, college students and late school students. That means the teenagers are willing to listen. But we don't know how to make them listen. We are not reaching out to them and explaining to them things nicely. We are at fault largely also. We cannot simply blame the teenagers. We have not known how to bring them to the spiritual path. When Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, went to America, that was the age when all the teenagers were rebelling against the American social and political establishment. Every single teenager was against his parents and against his teachers or her teachers. And they had a formula, a slogan, never trust anybody above 30. That was their slogan. We teenagers and youth are almighty. So they refused to go to college, they didn't study, they didn't take up jobs, and they became what is known as hippies, growing long hair, taking drugs, just living together aimlessly, having a lot of music, rock music, and they were living like that. And it became such a major social problem in America. When Prabhupada went, he was speaking to these same people. And by the dozens and hundreds, young people not just gave up their bad habits like drinking, drugs, all so many bad things. They actually surrendered to Prabhupada. The girls, the boys, you know, those who were just living together here and there, Prabhupada got them married, lived together in marriage, don't just live like this, like animals. Give up all these other bad habits, and they did that. And the society at large couldn't understand, how is this old man, 70 years old, coming here? How has he performed this miracle on these young people? So Prabhupada is speaking to them. He said, you give us your youth and we will train them for you, but you must give us the facility. He gave them a 70-year-old man who came there, and they had a slogan, don't trust anyone above 30. Here they surrendered their life to someone who was more than double that. Right? Why? What did Srila Prabhupada give them that the whole society did not give them? Krishna consciousness. He gave them genuine purpose and meaning in life. He gave them true spiritual knowledge. The whole society was only giving them materialistic understanding of life. So even the young people are very intelligent, even the teenagers. They need to be handled properly. They need to be given a higher purpose in life. And they need to be shown good role models. Today, who are our role models for our teenagers? Our film stars, actresses. So all the girls want to be Bollywood actresses because they are the most famous, well-known. The boys want to be Bollywood heroes, or they want to be some well-known cricketer, or they want to be some, you know, big, wealthy multi-billionaire. So if you have role models of this sort and all the teenagers are aspiring only for this, where are the role models and where are the teenagers who will say, I want to become very saintly. I want to become a person of good character. I want to become a noble person. So they need role models. Where are those role models now? In industry and business, in politics, in sports, in entertainment, in social life around us, everywhere, there are good examples. Certainly there are numerous good examples, but too few in comparison to the bad examples. So the teenagers are all intelligent, they see all this, and they want to become like them. Because the society is giving importance to these things. So our media, full of covering, they glorify all these. So then everybody thinks this is what is, I should also become like this. The glitter and glamour of the world, everyone is getting attracted by that. Because what are the values we are placing before our young people? From childhood, what are we telling them? Study, study, study. Get good marks, get good job, earn a lot of money. And if the child goes to America, it is so nice, then I can tell all my family, relatives, my child is in America. These are the values we are giving them. Where are the values that you should become a noble person? How many parents today, even from small towns today, are giving such values to their children in childhood? That spiritual education is missing because the problem is with the parents, not with the children. So we have to work. It's a very major issue. So we have to work together to re-spiritualize the world today. And especially in India, this is a tragedy because India is the land of spiritual culture. And we are rejecting this culture in the name of so-called progress and advancement. Any other question? Yes.
Prabhuji, Aarti Mataji and Madhu Guru has the question. Aarti Mataji asks, how to bring a spiritual environment in the home when husband is not interested and the kid is 2 years old? And the other question is, Guru asked, marriage can lead to attachment. How to stay together but still detached?
So, the one first question is, how can we have spiritual sanskars for the child who is 2 years old when the mother is Krishna conscious or spiritually minded, but her husband is not spiritually minded? Well, at least the mother is spiritually minded. That is a huge thing. As I mentioned in the lecture, the role that the mother can play is incomparable. Father has his own role, undoubtedly, but he cannot substitute the mother. What the mother can do, only she can do. So the mother is, at least she is favorable, and she is trying to give sanskars to her child, that itself is very good. As far as a husband who is not spiritually inclined, pray for him. Give him prasadam of Lord Krishna. Heart will change slowly. A second question is, how can we stay in married life in a spirit of detachment? Yes? Read that again, the question. Can you read that?
Yeah. Marriage can lead to attachment.
Marriage can lead to attachment.
How to stay together but still detached.
How to stay together but still be detached.
Probably Aarti Mataji is saying that mother is also working. No, mother is working on this.
Mother is working. So, what can I say? An outsourcing of the conscious. What can be done? It's a question of what priorities we have in our life. You are giving priority to your child or to something else. So then we cannot complain. So you will give this responsibility to somebody else to do. So some maid will come, she will look after. Or in your generation, you will give it to your mother because she is available. But next generation, you are not going to be available for them. So there will be problem. So we have to make our priorities in life, what we want. And that is the reason now people don't want children, because both have their own ambitions. Both want to do these things. So then who's there to look after the child? Then nobody is there. That is one difficulty. Your second question was, marriage leads to attachment. How can we live together in a spirit of detachment? Yes, when there is marriage, it is natural that some attachment will develop. And without that attachment, you can't stay together. Some degree of attachment is essential. It is unavoidable. However, even in that, there must be a sense of detachment. Detachment means that we should not have a sense of controllership. There should be a sense of servitorship as opposed to controllership. We should understand the family members are not my property to use as and how I like whimsically, but they are Lord Krishna's property. And therefore, I must look after them with all care, with all affection, with due precautions and everything that are due responsibility, and know that ultimately at the end of the day, Lord Krishna is responsible. I will do my part, and then it is up to Lord Krishna as to what happens. You look after your children to the best of your ability. When they grow up, it is between them and Lord Krishna. What can you do? When they grow up, they take their own decisions in life, they will do. So you have to be detached. Even within marriage, yes. But detachment, I want to point out, doesn't mean negligence. It doesn't mean abdication of one's responsibilities. Oh, I'm a spiritual person, I'm detached, so I will not provide for the family, I will not do my responsibilities at home because I'm detached. No. Detachment does not equal negligence. Detachment does not equal irresponsibility. A spiritual person will be very responsible. At the same time, will be detached in the sense that he or she understands that this is ultimately Lord Krishna's property. I am a servant, servitor trying to serve in a spirit of devotion. Any other question? Yes. Can I give a mic, please?
Nowadays, so many. Hello, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Nowadays, quarrelings are going among the family, maybe husband and wife, or brother and sister among the family. How to maintain a good relationship so that understanding develops between each other and how to maintain a good family. Nowadays we are seeing so many issues going on in the society. Not only husband and wife, or parents and sons, parents and due to what money issues or financial issues, so many parents, how to overcome all those and maintain good relationship among each other.
That was what the whole lecture was about. Whole lecture was answering your question. Yes?
Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful lecture. And just one thing I was contemplating on, as you said, that some people may misbehave because they have not got proper samskaras from their parents and then from their parents. It was a chain. So somewhere definitely, as the age has seen the degradation, so somewhere we also have got affected, either to some extent or the more. We have also not got 100% from our parents, and they might not have got 100% from their parents. Now the situation is, now we are also learning. At the same time, we are going to inspire others, and they will be expecting almost 100% from us. So we have limited energy, we have limited information, limited experience. So how to see that we are taking care of others also, inspiring them in Krishna consciousness, and maintaining our energy as well, we are not giving them wrong information. And I hope I'm not confusing. And the thing is, it's like we are also in an emergency situation to get help from someone. At the same time, we are trying to help others.
Yeah. That is why, as I was saying, we need more spiritual education. We have to reach out to one and all in society and give them this very, very important message and explain it elaborately in all its details. And this is not something that happens in just overnight. It has to be done over years and years and years. So we have to continue to spread this knowledge. Srila Prabhupada has given us so many books that explain the basic philosophy. He also gives us practical tips and guidelines on how to live. Our Shastras are giving us valuable information on how we should live our life. So we should become acquainted with the scriptures, with these teachings, and we should try to apply them in our life. And also we should consult those who are more experienced than us in life, spiritually, as well as those who may be more experienced in family life, for example. How not to quarrel much. Look at good examples and approach them for guidance. Like that, we should learn and we should help others also. Okay? It's a continuing, it's work in progress. Till the last day, it will be work in progress. Any other point? Okay. So thank you very much, all of you, for coming. And there is such a nice program going on here. What have you named the house here? Vrindavan, right? Vrindavan. So you should come to Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna resides, Radha Govinda, and then see how your family life will also transform very nicely. So thank you very much for all of you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful discussion, and there's so many questions asked by this as well. Thank you all for coming today. And Maharaj has been there for the last 3 days. He came all the way from Pune. He was there for 10 days in Pune, going through various programs. And again, tomorrow morning he's leaving to Bangalore. There are 1 week program there. So intensely engaged and sacrificing his time, energy, physically discomforting himself, coming all the way. Thank you so much for coming and helping us.
And thank you for arranging programs like this and making a house into a temple and making everybody come here and giving them opportunity to hear and chant about Lord Krishna. And to hear the messages of the scriptures. It's a very important service they are doing. And they're showing how in family life you can live happily by keeping Lord Krishna in the center. Nice role model. Yes, we are talking of role models. How even as householders, you can dedicate yourself and be selfless to serve others and help others on this path. Hare Krishna.